trusted to a third party. He'd killed before. Many times, in fact. The only difference now was he wouldn't be doing it for his government. This one was all for him. He spent the next 2 days in careful, decisive preparation efficiently conducted around his day job. The three imperatives of his mission were embedded in every action he performed. 1. Keep it simple. 2. Provide for every contingency. And 3. Never panic, no matter how much your plan goes awry, which it occasionally did. However, if there were a fourth rule, it would have to be exploit the fact that most people are fools when it comes to things that actually matter, like their own survival. He had never suffered from that shortcoming. Roger Seagraves was 42, single and childless. A wife and brats would certainly have complicated his unorthodox lifestyle. In his previous career with the federal government, he'd adopted false identities and traveled across the world. Fortunately, changing identities was stunningly easy to do in the computer age. A few clicks of the Dell, a server somewhere in India hummed, and from one's fancy laser printer, out popped a new you, with all the official bells, whistles, and available credit. Seagraves could actually buy all that he needed on an internet site that required a carefully guarded password. It was akin to a Macy's department store for criminals, sometimes dubbed by its felonious clientele as Evil Bay. There, one could purchase everything from first-rate ID packs and stolen credit card numbers to the services of professional hitmen, or sterilized weapons, if you were inclined to commit the murder yourself. He usually obtained the necessary materials from a dealer who had a 99% approval rating from his customers and a money-back guarantee. Even killers liked to go with quality. Roger Seagraves was tall, well-built, and handsome, with thick, blonde, wavy hair. On the surface, he seemed carefree in his ways and possessed an infectious grin. Virtually every woman in his vicinity copped a second look, as did some envious men. He often used this to his advantage. When you had to kill or deceive, you used whatever tools you had, as effectively as possible. His government had taught him that too. Though he still technically labored for the United States, he also worked for himself. His official pension plan fell far short of giving him the quality retirement he felt he deserved, after so many years of risking his life for the red, white, and blue. For him, though, it had been mostly red. On the third afternoon after his enlightening visit to the Capitol, Seagraves subtly modified his features and put on several layers of clothing. When it grew dark, he drove a van up into the expensive fringes of Northwest D.C., where the embassies and private mansions all had paranoid guards patrolling their compounds. He parked in a small courtyard behind a building across the street from a very exclusive club housed in an imposing brick Georgian that catered to wealthy and politically obsessed persons, of whom Washington had more than any city on earth. These folks loved to gather over passable food and average wine, and talk polls, policies, and patronage to their heart's content. Seagraves wore a blue jumper suit with service stenciled on the back. The key he'd made earlier fit the simple lock of the vacant building that was awaiting extensive renovation. His toolbox in hand, he took the steps two at a time until he reached the top floor and entered a room facing the street. He flashed a penlight around the empty space, noting the single window. He'd left it unlocked and well-oiled on an earlier visit. He opened his toolbox and quickly assembled his sniper rifle. Next, he attached the suppressor can to the muzzle, chambered a single round. He was nothing if not confident. Crept forward and drew up the window a bare 2 inches, just enough to allow the can to fit in the opening. He checked his watch and looked up and down the street from his lofty perch without much worry of being spotted, since the building he was in was completely dark. In addition, his rifle had no optics signature and sported camouflage.